Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Bless the Lord. You ready for the word? Hey, take your Bible, whether it's in book form or digital form, and hold it high in the air. And we do this to position our hearts and get ready for his word. Say this after me, please. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed. Therefore, I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore, I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. We had a custom at Glad Tidings that every first Sunday in December, we decorated a Jesse tree. And we did this for like the first 17 years. So today we bring the Jesse tree back. If you've never seen the Jesse tree, let me see your hand. You've never seen a Jesse tree. Oh, you're in for a treat today. The Jesse tree is named from the book of Isaiah 11, verse 1, where it says, a shoot will spring from the stump of Jesse and a branch out of his roots. Jeremiah, the prophet, records the words of the Lord and says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The branch is therefore an appropriate symbol of Jesus the Christ. Jesus, who is the revelation of the grace and faithfulness of God. And the Israelites, to the descendants of Abraham, were chosen by God to be a light to the nations. When they were imprisoned by the Egyptians, they cried out to God for deliverance from their oppression. God responded by saying, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry. And I have come to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them to a good land. So he entered history in a marvelous way to deliver them and bring them into a place where they could worship God and serve him in peace and joy, and instead of serving Pharaoh in hard service. God promised to be with them and to be their God, and that they would be his people. But as they settled in the land that God had given them, they forgot God. And Psalms 106:21 says, they forgot God, their deliverer, who had done great things in Egypt. And as they grew secure in the land, they began to believe that it was by their own power and their own strength, their own hand had brought the blessings of the Lord to them. And even though God had raised up godly leaders like David and later kings and religious leaders, they began to serve their own interests. And the people began to worship the false gods of the land. They even gave offerings to the prophet Baal, supposedly the god of rain and fertility of the land, thanking him for the prosperity they enjoyed. The Lord sent prophets to warn them of the consequences of failing to be his people. Amos warned them to seek God and to live, but they continued to worship the idols of Baal. They continue to cheat the poor, steal from each other, neglect the needy, and do all manner of evil. So God allowed them to have their own way. God allowed them to suffer the consequences of their own choices. The Babylonian armies came and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the land, and they took the people into captivity. And even though they had disobeyed God, even though they had forsaken God for other gods, even though they had miserably failed to be his people and to let him be their God, yet the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still loved them. And I need you to hear this, no matter where you are today in your journey, God still loves you. God loves you. God had made a commitment to these people that he would not allow to be undone, even by their own rejection of him. In spite of their failures, in spite of their inability to envision a future beyond exile, there came a time when the prophets again announced a new thing, proclaiming good tidings to the people, proclaiming, here is your God. For God was faithful to that promise. A new king was born in Bethlehem. So today we can exclaim with the prophet, the old man Simeon, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all people, a light to bring revelation to the nations and for glory to your people Israel. But we also know that the world is still with us. And even though we can have peace and joy through the presence of Jesus Christ, we still long for deliverance from the oppression of sin in the world. We long for the full reign of the King, for the kingdom of peace that he will bring. So while we celebrate the birth of the branch, a new shoot from the stump of Jesse, we still anticipate the hope of the second coming and await the completion of the promise. And the Jesse tree will help us retell this story. The Jesse tree will help us express this hope. This year, our ornaments are going to tell the story of hope. Our ornaments are going to tell the story leading up to the birth of the Messiah and beyond. So as we decorate the tree with the ornaments, we will speak about the significance of each item and we will relate them to the coming of Christ. The first ornament, you can write it down, is the apple. And the apple represents the need of humankind. Man needs salvation. The needs of mankind are great. For you see, God, because of sin that entered into the world, it brought separation from God by sin. Not only does the apple represent man's failure and man's need, it represents the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. We read in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, that the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it up and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat thereof. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God created man, created woman, placed them in the Garden of Eden to keep it, to tend it. Boundaries were set. You can eat of everything. Enjoy the garden. Enjoy everything in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then he stated there are boundaries for violating. There's a consequence to violating the boundaries. He says, you shall surely die. So when you see the apple, you recognize it represents the poor choices of man. For the very next chapter, chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her. He did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. The apple reminds us that mankind chose sin. Now, because of the first Adam, we have received the corruptible seed of human nature that is bent towards sin, and the result thereof is spiritual death. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Not only was there a curse pronounced and sin brought separation, but in the middle of this, God gave a promise. In that very same chapter of Genesis 3, verse 15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In the midst of that judgment, there was a promise that there was going to come of the seed of woman, one who would bruise the head of the serpent. So the apple, yes, it represents sin, man's failure. But it also represents the promise of a redeemer. It represents that God remembers his promises. The apostle Peter would write these words, God is not slack concerning his promises. Paul would tell the church of Corinth, God is faithful. And church, when you walk in the sanctuary this Advent season and you see the tree that is decorated with apples, may it speak to you not only of man's fallenness, but also of the promise that God made, that there's redemption and there's hope. The next thing that will decorate the Jesse tree is cotton. And the cotton will represent manna. In Exodus 16, says, the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Cana. The people were murmuring, remembering in Egypt, their tables were full. How were they going to eat while in the wilderness? God provided manna for them for 40 years, bread from heaven. And the Israelites were to gather a certain quota every morning. But on the sixth day, it was different because the Sabbath was the next. They were to gather twice as much. And they did this for 40 years. The lesson that they were learning was to depend on God every day, to trust in God's daily provision. They were to learn that only God could satisfy their cravings, and that God meets the need no matter how long the situation lasts. And maybe you've been walking through a dry season. Maybe you've been walking through your own personal wilderness. Maybe you've been going through a difficult time. But hear me, God is faithful. He'll provide for you to the very last moment, to the very last day. Trust him. Trust his provision. Trust his nature. He is good. But how does this speak of Jesus? The truth of the matter is, Jesus is the true manna. Jesus is the bread from heaven. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, he records the words of Jesus. Therefore, they said unto him, What sign are you going to show us that we may see and believe? And what kind of work are you going to do? He said, our fathers, our ancestors did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then he said unto them, Lord, even give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus proclaimed, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. This Advent, we celebrate Emmanuel, God manifested in flesh. Jesus is the bread from heaven. It speaks that he alone can give eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. For the bread of God is he who gives life to the world. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What we need to learn in this Christian walk is to depend on God every day. And we must trust God for salvation and for our daily needs. The next ornament that's going to decorate the Jesse tree are shepherd's staffs. And there's a couple of verses that I think of when I think of the shepherd's staff. I think of the anointing of Jesse's son, David. You remember Samuel heard the Lord say, I've rejected Saul from being king. I'm looking for someone after my own heart. Take the horn of oil and go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons. I will tell you who. He arrives in Bethlehem to the house of Jesse. Jesse calls his sons together. And from the oldest down to next to the youngest, they pass before the prophet. But Samuel did not hear the witness of the Lord. He gets to the last son that Jesse presents and he says, is this all of your sons? Finally, Jesse says, no, the youngest one is out in the fields tending sheep. Samuel says, call him. And as soon as David walked in, this shepherd boy, Samuel knew. That's the king of Israel. I think of Psalm 23. David wrote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he would say these words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You, O Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, God, anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My hope and my prayer this Advent season, when you come in and see the shepherd's staff, you'll realize the Lord is the good shepherd. And that goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. But hear the words of Jesus as John records them in his gospel. Chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Immediately, the Jewish audience would understand and relate it to David, a shepherd boy, the author of the 23rd Psalm. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And here Jesus identifies himself, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Take encouragement today. God knows you. He sees you. He understands you because he is the good shepherd. How does this speak to us today? The shepherd takes care of his own. He provides for the green pastures. In that same passage, Jesus said that I am the door. If any man will enter in, he shall come in and go out and find pasture. This good shepherd, Jesus, will lead you beside those still waters. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. You don't have to fear what is to come, because his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. This Jesse tree speaks to us that Jesus is the good shepherd that provides for his people. He says, I've come not to be served, but I come to serve. That's the good shepherd. The next ornament will be branches. I take you back to Jeremiah 23, the verse we opened up with. The Lord said, behold, the days are coming that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. See, the branch is a biblical sign of newness out of discouragement, which became a way to talk about the expected Messiah. So when you see the branches speak of new life. The branches speak of hope. The branches declare a new day, for out of the stump of Jesse shall come a shoot of righteousness, a branch of righteousness. But not only does it speak of new life and hope and a new day, it speaks of family. See, I believe Jesus has come to restore family relationships. And maybe you lost your family because you're committed to Christ. Maybe since you've been following Jesus, your family, your earthly family has kind of deserted you. Hear me today. He has come to give you a new family, a family of believers, the household of faith. So let me ask a question. Do you need hope? Jesus is that branch of righteousness. Are you discouraged today? Are you feeling overwhelmed today? Do you feel like you don't know if you can make it another day? There's a new beginning. Allow Jesus to breathe new life into you. Allow Jesus to fulfill God's promises in your life. My hope and my prayer is this, is that today will mark a brand new start, a new day, a new beginning. The next ornament will be nails dipped in red, representing Christ going to the cross. He was born in Bethlehem, not to stay a babe in a manger, but to go to the cross. John 19, 18 says, there they nailed him to a cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. These nails dipped in red speak of suffering. See, Jesus died an excruciating death on the cross. He suffered agonizing pain, rejection, and humiliation. But he did so for you and for me. It also speaks of submission. Submission to the Father's plan. Submission to the Father's will. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prayed this prayer. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, Jesus was willing to surrender and submit to God's purposes and plans. This Advent season, it really is about you and I surrendering and submitting to God's plan for our life. Sometimes we map things out. Sometimes we have and we think how things are to play out. And when it doesn't, we become discouraged. When it doesn't, we become frustrated. But in essence, what God is wanting us to do is not to drive and be the one in charge of our faith, but to trust him and to trust his process. Not my will, but thy will be done. It also speaks of substitution. The Old Testament, because of sin, something and someone had to die. as the Israelites would come to the temple for worship, they would have to bring an animal sacrifice. It had to be an animal from their own flock, an animal from their own household. It had to be something that belonged to them. But it also had to be a male, and it had to be spotless. They couldn't get it from their neighbor. They couldn't get it and take it from the person down the street. It had to come from their own herd. In Leviticus 4, verse or chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him." They laid their hand upon the animal's head before it was slain and slaughtered. It represented that animal was taking their sin. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God that suffered and died so that we might live. The next ornament that adorns the tree are keys. And you can write this: keys are emblem of authority and power. Christ is the key to the house of David, who opens up the full meaning of the scriptural prophecies and who reopens for all mankind the gates of heaven. For there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, "You know the way. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." The keys represent authority. It represents power, that he has opened up the way. John the Revelator writes in Revelation 1:17, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not. For I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." These keys represent today that Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. It speaks of the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. It declares that he who was dead is now alive, who was and is to come, the Almighty. He has authority. And by right of him living in you, you have authority. You have authority over sin. You have authority over sickness. You have authority over disease. You have authority over brokenness. And I declare to you today, begin to walk in that authority. Begin to walk in that anointing. Begin to live out the blessings of the Lord upon you. Jesus declared, "I have the keys." He conquered death, so that you and I might be free from the punishment of sin. He conquered death so that we could be liberated from the fear of death. And he conquered so that we might live in the presence of God. Finally, the last emblem that will top the Jesse tree is a shofar. A shofar is a musical instrument made from a ram's horn. It has a lot of significance in biblical literature. The shofar was often used in a military setting to announce a battle cry. Probably one of the most famous things we remember is that city of Jericho, as Israel is now in the promised land. The walls of Jericho are thick and huge. Seems to be impossible. Listen to what the Lord said, Joshua 6, verse 5. "When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn," the shofar, "have all the people shout as loud as they can. then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. It speaks that there's a battle cry, that the victory is ours in the name of the Lord. Remember that Jesus entered into our battle. He overcame sin so that we might receive the righteousness of God. Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and in him we have and maintain victory. But the shofar was used also to call people to worship. So my hope and my prayer this Christmas season is when you come into this sanctuary and you see the Jesse tree crowned with a shofar, may we remember it is a call to worship. Worship this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. Worship this Jesus who was crucified outside Jerusalem. Worship this Jesus who was raised to life by the Spirit of the living God. Worship Jesus. He's the gift of Christmas. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Ancient of Days. He is the soon coming King. We worship Jesus, the gift of Christmas. The shofar was used to announce the Day of Atonement. It was also used to announce the coronation of a new king. Church, one day, we're going to take our crowns and we're going to throw them at his feet. It speaks of our hope, because one day there's going to be another trumpet sound. One day the horn is going to blow one more time. Paul declared it this way: it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. The shofar reminds us that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again, not as a suffering servant. He's coming again, not as a babe born in a manger. He's coming as conqueror. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the shofar reminds us, be ready, be prepared, for Jesus is coming again. Maranatha, come, Lord, quickly. May our prayer be today, we'll worship you until that trumpet sounds. We'll live for you till that trumpet sounds. We'll serve you till the trumpet sounds. We'll lift our voices till the trumpet sounds. For the dead in Christ shall rise, and one day we shall see him as he is. Somebody give him praise. Somebody worship him. Yes.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Until he comes again, this is how we fight our battles. Until he stands on the Mount of Olives once again, this is how we fight our battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Jesse tree tells and retells the story of Christmas, the birth of the Christ, the Lord, the Savior of the world. The apples represent mankind's need, but also represents the promise that coming from the seed of woman be one who would crush the head of the serpent. Church, I remind you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus crushed the head of the old serpent. I remind you that the enemy is underneath your feet. And you have to remind yourself of that sometimes, because he's the father of all lies. And sometimes you think he's winning. Sometimes you watch the news and you wonder what in the world's going to happen next. But hear me today, we're on the winning side. Hear me today, Jesus has already stomped on the head of that old serpent. The cotton represents manna. God is your provider. He will take care of you. The shepherd's staff reminds us that he knows our name. That when we walk through difficult moments, his rod and staff, they comfort us. The branches speak of new life, speaks of a new family. In church, we have the family of God. There's nothing more beautiful than the body of Christ. The nails dipped in red speaks of substitution. He took our place so that we could have his righteousness. And remember, the keys speak of authority. Live out your authority. Walk out your authority. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell the devil he's defeated. Remind him of his destiny is the lake of fire. Remind him that he and his demons are going to be cast in the lake of fire one day, and we shall forever be with the Lord. The shofar was a cry to battle. In church, we're in a spiritual fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. So you prophetically, listen, you hear that call to worship. And you worship God with everything within you, because you are victorious. Finally, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The final thing we do today is light the Jesse tree. And it speaks that he is the light of the world. Go and reflect his light. He looked at his disciples and said, you are the light of the world. You are now the salt of the earth. So I hope and I pray this Advent season that whatever you do and wherever you go, the light of Jesus will shine through you. And others will see the hope. And others will know that Jesus is your Lord, your Savior, and your King. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Can we sing this song one last time before we close out in a blessing?